feel it's their appointed duty.
Time to talk some basketball, Celtics in particular, as we welcome in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
That's my favorite Bill Withers song.
I knew that, and you know, since you're live with us today, wait, we got to play some Withers. Let's go with the one John loves best. Matter of fact, we may just listen to the whole thing, and then we'll talk basketball later.
It's better than anything I'm going to say.
I'm not going to go that far. That's why we have you here. Make some sense of it all, and we say this time and time again, no off-season in Celtics world. Things happening all the time. Let's sort of take them in reverse order, working our way back in time, and start with the extension to Josh Richardson. What's that really all about?
I think the biggest thing is real flexibility with his contract, depending on which way the Celtics want to go with him. And it can go any number of ways. It could just be a trade chip, could be a one-year thank you and goodbye. It could be a multi-year want to keep him around because he complements Tatum and Brown very well. And what that extra year does is kind of accentuate all of those possibilities instead of being able to trade him just for the next, you know. In fact, there's a moratorium, so there's a small few-month window that you can trade him between December and February. There's, you know, instead of that, you now have all of this season, next summer, next season, if trading him is going to be the way they go. If they wanted to extend him later, they can kind of see how he plays over the next year or two, and then they can figure out, you know, have a stronger negotiating position. And it's almost like a protection against a massive breakout year where he could have walked should he have, you know, rekindled some of his Miami success. And so I think what the Celtics have is a guy that they can count on for a couple years. If he comes back and is good, they can count on him for a couple years at a good price. If it's a tradable contract, they have at least protection that if nothing materializes at the trade deadline, they can go beyond this. And if he's just okay, then you have an okay player for a couple of years, and then goodbye.
Now, before that, the extension to Robert Williams. I love this move. Clearly, it shows the confidence that Steven has in him, and it took me back to a conversation we had when Brad became the general manager, which is he's seen these guys from a perspective of a coach. He knows right what he likes, and clearly he believes this is the guy to start in that position going forward.
Right. His dealings as the president of basketball operations give us insight into what he thought about these guys, really thought about these guys on the floor. And the fact is that Robert Williams is a guy that was really, really important for the Boston Celtics over the course of the last season, especially. He's developed extraordinarily quickly. And I think we saw towards the end of last season how important he really became to the Celtics. He's a guy that you can run the offense through and not just a freak athlete that can catch lobs and block shots out of nowhere. He's improved significantly on fundamentals, and now he can accentuate Tatum and Brown with his passing. If you give him the ball in the high post and you're supposed to run something like a dribble handoff with Jason Tatum coming up from the corner, and a defense reads that, Tatum can cut back door with the confidence that Robert Williams will see that and hit him on the backdoor cut. And that's really, really important. And again, flexibility, because $12 million, approximately, a little more than $12 million as the starting salary for his first year of the extension, then it basically goes up by about $1 million a year for the next 4 years after that. So a reasonable price, tradable contract, should it get to that. But most importantly, a guy that clearly Brad Stevens likes and has shown an ability to be a very important guy, and he's locked up at a very reasonable price.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. I was drawn to a comment you made on social media yesterday about Marcus Smart's contract and the expiration of the CBA and what that might mean in terms of the last couple of years of the Marcus Smart deal.
Yeah, there's so much that's uncertain moving forward with NBA business, because in that last season of his contract there, what's that, the 25-26 season, where that's going to be the beginning of the new TV deal. And there are expectations that that revenue could double or even triple for the NBA. And so if things double or triple and it's just an immediate, there's no cap smoothing, there's no gradual introduction of that increase, then in the last year of his deal, if the salary cap doubles at that point, then all of a sudden the $20-plus million contract feels like a $10 million contract. And then that just gives the Celtics a lot more ability to add to the roster at that point. But even if the collective bargaining agreement expires after year two of his contract, and if they agree to some level of cap smoothing and start the increase a year earlier, then that helps the Celtics even more, because that second year, the second to last year, where it's somewhere around, what, 18 million or so, 19 million, that is a much lower percentage of the salary cap. So the numbers that people see, the raw numbers, and they say, I can't believe Marcus Smart's going to get 20 million in 1 year of this contract, it's in context, it's not as much as even Robert Williams getting 12 million right now. So it's going to be interesting to see how the finances change.
Well, Brad Stevens' approach has certainly been different than what we saw with Danny Ainge. There were some people who said he was too deliberate in his maneuvers. Not that Brad Stevens isn't thinking things through, but he's a man of action.
Yeah, I think the difference is Brad understands a good deal that's beneficial, and Danny really was bent on, especially towards the end, winning the trade. Winning it to a point where he wasn't going to do it if he wasn't the clear winner. And sure, that's great. That's fine. You want to come out feeling like you won the trade, and you don't want to come out feeling the criticism of, hey, maybe you should have done this or maybe you should have done that. But what Stevens is doing is like, hey, this is beneficial for both sides. And I'm not going to not do something that helps me just because it helps somebody else. I'm going to do something that helps me. And that's, if somebody else benefits from it, hey, great, good for them. But the sign and trade with New York, you know, you gave New York a second round pick. New York kind of played ball. That was good. You work a trade where you're giving up pieces and you say, okay, well, they didn't have to do this, but it worked for both sides, and they did it. I think he just is more focused on, I don't care quite as much if it helps the other side, so long as it helps my side. And again, the key word here is flexibility. If Brad Stevens has now given himself multiple options with each player, then he can have a plan A, B, and C. And frankly, I think Stevens is so meticulous that he wants a plan A, B, and C, and maybe even beyond.
John, what are your initial thoughts on the schedule for next year?
You know, I can go the Larry Bird route and say 41 at home, 41 away. Looks good. I think, you know, every team's going to have their same kind of takeaways, right? There's 1 month where you're like, oof, ouch. There's 1 month where you go, okay, they can make a run here. I think for the Celtics, the easiest month is probably November, where you've got a lot more of the non-playoff teams from last season, Orlando, Cleveland, those guys, the rebuilding teams in there. And then in December, it gets really tough. They have their West Coast swing, and you got back-to-backs. You got two back-to-backs in the West Coast swing. That's going to be really, really tough. They face Milwaukee twice, Phoenix twice, so the two NBA finalists, they get twice in that month. They get the Lakers twice, they get the Clippers. I mean, it's a lot of really, really good teams. So that's going to be very difficult. Now, January, they get to cool some of those, maybe lick some of those wounds at home, because I think 10 of their 16 games will be at home. So, but that's kind of where I see it. It's going to be, if the Celtics can come out strong in October, November, can muddle through December and maybe come away with that with a .500 December record, then they'll be okay because I think January, February, they have a chance to get into the All-Star break with a decent record and then make one final push. So, it's the schedule looks like everybody else's schedule.
There you go. It's John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, we thank you as always. Have a good week, and we'll visit with you again next Tuesday.
My pleasure. Talk to you then.
John Corrales here on Downtown.